Hey everyone, it's Camille, and today we're going to do part one of the Sinister Six series, Can Facebook Be the Face of My Business? Hey everybody, it's Camille Forte. Welcome to the Get a Hand Up podcast. Today is a very special podcast as it's the beginning of a series called The Sinister Six. And today's podcast will be, Can Facebook Be the Face of My Business? Now, first, I'd like to give a special shout out and thanks to Warren West for the intro and outro sounds. Extremely talented man. You can find him at warrenwestmusic.com. And of course, this podcast would be nowhere near half as fun if it weren't for my partner in crime. My impatient partner in crime, my starlet of a statistician.
Keep going.
Oh, now he wants compliments. What's your name today?
My name is a Facebook story.
A Facebook story?
Only lasts for 24 hours, just like my ex, my previous marriages. Actually, no, I'm a good catch, ladies. I'm a very good catch.
All right, so... You know, I'm a Facebook story. I know you have questions for me, but first I would just like to answer the question at hand and get my two cents out there. I'm going to try and keep it concise because it's very hard for me not to geek out on this particular topic. You know, the fact is, folks, yes, Facebook can and should be the face of your brand and business. If not the face, then at least a face. And I mean, definitely a priority face. So if your business has maybe three main, you know, faces that face your target audience or your storefront or your corporation, whatever it may be, Facebook definitely needs to be one of them. The sad thing is that in this day and age, there are still people who are afraid to go to the social media route. And this truly baffles me because one of the kickers is that Facebook may very well be the face of your business and you don't even know it. And so if, you know, Facebook can be a fabulous face of your business if it's done right. If you've not been doing it right, it can be a serious detriment to your reputation, your brand image, you know, everything. So
let me geek out for a moment. So
let me kind
of give you an interesting statistic. As of this recording today on August 21st, 2019, Facebook is stating that they have over 2.38 billion active users. Okay. Now, before you even start, you know, saying, wait, that's a lot, which is a lot. Of that 2.38, let's just be real about this. I am guessing more of 1.6 billion users because I have an aunt that has five profiles. And when it comes time to wish her a happy birthday, because she, a lot of people create multiple profiles, whether you're a stalker or you just want to create a business profile for yourself and then a personal profile, they're allocating those numbers into their overall number. So really think of the number of 1.6 billion versus 2.38 billion, but that's a lot of users and that's worldwide. That's almost one fifth of our population on the planet that is on Facebook. So as Camille was saying, can your business be have a face on Facebook? And the answer is yes. And I'm going to let Camille go into more of why this is a good option.
First of all, check out a website. It'll take you 10 seconds. InternetLiveStats.com. I'm actually watching the number of Facebook active users climb more than one per second. It's just climbing. It gives you all the live internet stats of every platform. But anyway, in terms of your aunt, you know, it's almost okay that she has five profiles because the average Facebook user is checking Facebook 14 times a day or more. So even if she's not using, You know, the other four profiles all day, every day. She's still on her, excuse me, her primary profile a good 14 times a day. And from a business perspective, that's a lot of opportunity to reach her as a consumer or a client.
Much agreed, Camille. Now, let me give another statistic. The average user sees around, and you're going to be astonished by this number, 5,000 ads per day. Don't believe me? Go on your social media profile, Facebook for in this example, and scroll down your feed and see how many stories or advertisements from Coca-Cola for Stranger Things 3, season 3, to, you know, any of your favorite likes or interests that you placed into Facebook, how Facebook markets those companies onto your feed.
Well, that's, you know, it's not a surprise. You know, first of all, that's one of the reasons for my previous, I think it was a previous blog and podcast that was basically about the, you know, getting into your target audience's mindset because of Jeffrey Lantz rule of seven, which is actually now more like a rule of 12. There's so much noise out there, and we see so many marketing messages per day that marketers really need to penetrate our attention span significantly several times in order for us to convert into customers or clients. But a good marketer will make that marketing message not seem like a marketing message or an ad, but more so as something useful and something helpful. That's how you get through to somebody's attention, their consciousness, and say, hey, I need that, or I want that, or that would make my life easier. That's, you know, basically the premise of a great ad or marketing message is people don't feel it's intrusive.
I totally agree, Camille. I'll give a personal example. I am a big Transformers fan. For those that know me personally, they know that I love Transformers. I've loved it since the creation of the Transformers back in the early 80s. Now, Hasbro does a fantastic job of doing their social media marketing to show the new Transformers that come out, that where Camille yells at me because the minute they come out, I go onto Amazon, pre-order it, and then kind of hide the purchase from her, saying that, oh, this is something that I picked out months ago, even though I just saw the ad 5 minutes before.
How can you hide it? I can't walk in the walk-in closet. There's a life-size TIE fighter in there.
And
go on.
But like, I'll kind of chime in on this also, because I know Camille was touching on this. When you create an ad on Facebook, you could be the robot. I joke about Camille at times speaking like her father. Her father's a doctor, has been a doctor for 50 plus years, a phenomenal doctor. And if you make your ad so robotic, where it's like, here is my item, purchase my item, or you will not get the benefits of my item, it turns people off. You want to be bubbly. You want to be at their level. Like, so for an example, like with me with Transformers, Camille, I want to be like, look, the new Omega Supreme that's going to come out. It's 24 inches tall and it has over 150 points of articulation, and it's going to be big and bold, and you have to have this. You kind of have to create the excitement with your ads.
You know, can I speak on this for a
Please.
Minute? Because it's something that's been a pet peeve of mine. I know a particular business owner who shall remain unnamed, no marketing services, and it keeps reminding me of those commercials where just okay is not okay. I
yes.
don't remember who's doing that now. It's
it'll come to us after the podcast.
I don't know, but you know, just okay is not okay, and it's just it's every marketers in general, business people in general, who just throw together their marketing messages, and they're everything is wrong, from the creative, the type of ad, the image, the video, whatever the case may be. And I've literally heard out of their mouths, oh, well, it's good enough. It's not good enough. You have to be in the psyche of your target audience. You need to be thinking. In fact, that's a Camille-ism. The moment you can no longer stand in the shoes of your target client or customer, you will never again be a good marketer. That's something I always say.
And it's very true. Again, an unnamed client, we're not going to say out of respect for them. You cannot market in this day and age like it's like from Mad Men, like from the 60s or 70s. You have to be at the level of the person or the clients that you're marketing at. You got to be at their level. You got to be able to speak to them. I always use this analogy. Never pitch a business idea being a robot at a bar. Be at the level. Share a drink. Have a smoke. You know, sit and have a conversation. And then, you know, gradually say, okay, this is what I offer. This is what I do. In Facebook, this is key. We see 5,000 ads per day. Again, keep that number in mind. 5,000 ads. You know how desensitized we get to those ads? It's kind of like when we hear a car alarm go off. Back in the day, we'll be attentive and say like, okay, whose car is being broken into? Now we just dismiss it. What can you do, Camille? Like for an example, if I'm a business owner, what can I do from being in a crowded market of being desensitized to be resensitized, to be attentive, to have someone pay attention to what I have to say?
If you're a company and I'm your marketer,
yes,
I'm going to think specifically from the mindset of your target customer. I'm going to think of something that's priceless or valuable to them and offer it to them so that when they see your ad or your marketing message, they don't see it as, oh, an ad. They see it as, ooh, you know, I need that.
Many times I've seen, and this is going to be in our second podcast of the Sinister Six, which is taken from a Spider-Man comic series, by the way, for the nerds out there like me. The thing is, when you see an ad, you want that ad to catch you so well, like your customer to catch it so well that they are going to share it with their friends or share it on their post. That's how wildfire starts. It's just so simple. Like, again, the Transformer ad. I shared this ad on my personal Facebook page from Hasbro with my friends. All of a sudden, all my friends are trying to figure out ways to hide money to purchase Omega Supreme from their wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, and so forth because of just a 15-second ad that showed a prototype of a product that's not going to even be out till October.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, I mean, let's tie this back to Facebook. It really depends on how you package it. If you were to ask me, okay, of all the social platforms, you can only have one. It would still be Facebook. And I know there are a lot of people who will chime in on our next session, which will be about Instagram, and say, no, it's Instagram. But remember that Facebook owns Instagram. And a lot of people who primarily use Instagram have it linked to their Facebook accounts anyway. So you can actually reach and interact with both platforms at once. And for business, this is huge. And again, bringing it back to today's topic, it depends greatly on what type of ad you use. You know, some people have the time to go to a landing page and see how your product works. But maybe you're trying to target somebody who's in the C-suite, like a CEO, a CMO, or maybe you're targeting a busy doctor or someone like that. You need to use something like a lead ad where they can literally tap on it. Their information is already filled out for them. They hit submit. And they get a great article or white paper or a how-to guide, something that really interests them and is valuable to them and takes absolutely none of their time.
I'll give a quick interesting statistic. You know, if you're a B2B customer, I mean, B2B client, or you offer B2B service, business-to-business services, the number most users from the ages groups, and here, and again, this is astounding how a platform that took off 12 years ago, from the ages of 25 to 34, 58.3 active users, from the ages of 35 to 44, 42.4 million users, and from the ages of 45 to 54, are 35.4 users, 35.4 million users. That is a lot of users that are online, like how Camille mentioned, checking their Facebook up to 14 times a day. If you feel that you're a business-to-business client or a person, business, excuse me, and you feel like, oh, Facebook is just for business to consumer. No, business to business can do very well on Facebook just by those numbers alone.
Oh, you know I have to chime in on that.
Chime in.
First
hold on,
of
hold on.
All,
chime.
Chime. First of all, no. Actually, my personal record is getting a client pre-qualified B2B leads at $2.50 each. Which is pretty good. I pat myself on the back about that. But the thing about Facebook is that it's not just Facebook isn't just about Facebook. When you advertise on Facebook, not only does it have the most advanced targeting system in the world, meaning just as an example, I have a friend at the cigar lounge who recently became a purveyor of watches. Selling all types of watches. Well, I was able to help him set up some ad targeting where not only is he targeting the age, gender, of, you know, prospective buyers, but he's also targeting every brand, every other brand of watches that these people might like. We're also targeting people who have men. People who have men. People who have friends that are men and have a birthday within the next 7 to 30 days. So in other words, this ad is going to be shown to people who have a friend who's got a birthday coming up and you already know that they like watches just like the ones they're seeing in the ad. So the targeting, there's no other platform in the world that has targeting that good, but it goes beyond the platform. So say you target the audience network. Ads that you created on Facebook may not even show on the Facebook feed. They may be showing on websites like TechCrunch or Huffington Post or Business Insider. And that's huge. A lot of people, a lot of marketers don't know that you can do such a wide range of branding and advertising from one central hub.
Very true. Let me kind of chime in on this also. That was a very interesting thing when I was doing the research for your blog, is Facebook groups. You'll be surprised. Like everyone that goes on Facebook and you see your local thing, Facebook things for sale, like whether someone's selling a vehicle, baby clothes, or a couch or something. And in a way, I kind of joked with a friend of mine. I said, Facebook is kind of like Craigslist 2.0. Mm. But Facebook groups, something that is a big interest, because if you're a B2B or even B2C, Hasbro, as well as other companies, third-party companies that make Transformers, and again, sorry for using this analogy, but this is so true, start Facebook groups to catch the interest of others that are fans of Transformers. And then they start showing their products of prototype stages, or whether they're starting a Kickstarter to create a new Transformer or something. Mm. And this garnishes the, you know, I mean garnish, excuse me, wrong word. This gets the attention of a lot of people that are fans of this. I'll give an example. I have a dear friend. He's a sweet gentleman. And he loves whiskeys and bourbons. This man will drink, just to have the experience of drinking something, he will drink from a dirty gym sock filled with blue cheese just to have that experience and talk about that experience. So Facebook group, you know who I'm speaking of, and uh-huh. I'm going to name him nameless on
God
this.
God bless him. He's a legend.
But this man is maximum in what he does. So therefore saying that, when you have a Facebook group or belong to a group, before you think like, oh, I'm just pitching an idea to a bunch of people that don't care. No, you could get new customers just by being on Facebook groups or even creating your own group.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, just to back you up on that. Believe it or not, Facebook Marketplace, you know, one of the questions, I'm sure if you're paying attention to the social media world, okay, you've probably seen over the last few years so many clickbait titles, you know, oh, the death of Facebook, the demise of Facebook. Facebook is shrinking, you know, bull. I'm sorry, bull. You know what I mean. Can I say bullshit on a podcast? Facebook is still the biggest kid on the block because it is constantly evolved and grown according to user features. So a Facebook story, you're talking about, you know, how groups grew, like buy and sell groups. That's how Facebook Marketplace started. And it started out as people who were selling transformers. First, it was mostly used stuff. And then actual e-commerce people, e-commerce businesses said, hey, we can start selling stuff on there. Facebook Marketplace is born. And now there are people literally selling land, cars, real estate out the wazoo, used shoes, brand new cars, you name it. In fact, there was one study done, and this will be mentioned in the blog, where they found that when compared to Zillow, realtors were now able to get leads for real estate listings on Facebook Marketplace for $5 compared to $100 per lead on Zillow. That's huge. And another thing is Facebook Watch. You know, the streaming, the Facebook video, it's like a channel within the platform. It has 140 million daily users now. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of in there with the ranks of other streaming apps, you know, the CBS app and
I'll give a best example with Facebook Watch, Star Trek Discovery. You and I are big fans of Star Trek Disco.
Huge.
And the new series Star Trek Picard that's coming out in 2020, and you know, next year, just a couple of months from now. Discovery, well, CBS started to use Facebook stories to start promoting the show, you know, having the actors and actresses talk about their favorite scenes, what they like and dislike about the show, and their top 10. And Facebook Watch is used a lot to start promoting people. So I have a friend that's a recording artist in San Francisco, well, in the Bay Area, excuse me, the San Francisco Bay Area. Whenever he's recording a new song in the studio or he's doing a music video, he will use Facebook Watch to promote himself. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, it works. He went from having maybe 5 or 10 people on his music page, and then he started to use these practices of Facebook stories, Facebook Watch, and then started to even promote himself on the Facebook sale pages. And he's grown to over almost 10,000 users. And these are not just eggshells, and you'll hear this term eggshell when we do our Twitter podcast and blog, or just bots. These are actual people that are interacting with him almost on a daily basis.
That's one of the best things about Facebook that I personally like is engagement. You know, I know we're going to do Twitter in another session, and I don't want to go into it too much here, but just as an example, Twitter's been shown to have a very low click-through rate. You may get a lot of hearts and you may get a lot of retweets, but you're not going to get a lot of click-throughs. And on Facebook, people are not just engaging, they're sharing their comments, their opinions, their different reactions, but they're also clicking through. And I see that in the ad campaigns that I run for my clients. Amazing, amazing click-through and engagement rates. And you just don't see that on other platforms. Or if you do see it, it's literally at 5 to 10 times the cost. So, I do attribute a lot of that to targeting. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. If you don't target right, you're throwing your money away because you're not showing your marketing messages to the right people. But if you know your audience and you've targeted well to your audience, it is like shooting fish in a barrel.
Now, as we all talk about how, you know, like how you, I'm going to kind of touch on something when people were saying, oh, Facebook is dead, blah, blah, blah. It's the irony is you got to go on Facebook to see that link to go to a third party page. So
that's true.
It's kind of like saying, okay, this platform's dead, but go to this platform to see why this platform's dead.
Exactly.
And you know, now we're talking about the good things about it. So obviously now, you know, Camille and I had some questions that we had from clients and so forth that we wanted to answer. We kind of answered some of them. And the thing is, we're talking about how great Facebook could be for B2C, B2B, and to get even enterprise clients on board with your products, goods, and services. Now, everything's all fine and dandy. But what about the downsides, Camille?
There are a lot of downsides. You know, unfortunately, most of those downsides are on the user side. So for marketers who, you know, don't really care, well, you should care because, again, the psyche of your target customer has a lot to do with you as a business marketer. But for example, I was doing keyword research one day on social media, and about one third of the keywords and search phrases that came back were about anxiety and body dysmorphia problems. And I see articles all the time about especially young people, kids, you know, having image issues, using filters. Filters. Can we have a whole podcast about filters and, you know, what that's doing to the, you know, the, what would you call it? The cosmetic surgery industry and, you know,
the health and beauty industry.
Yeah, health and beauty, if you can call it that. But, I mean, it's gotten to the point where people are spending their money regularly to go to estheticians and doctors to try to make themselves look the way they do on Instagram. And so there are a lot of drawbacks. There's some privacy issues. You know, for people who don't know on a personal level, one of the questions I'm often asked by clients when I tell them how great the targeting on Facebook is from a business perspective is, well, how do you know that a person is that job title if they haven't listed it on their profile? So how do you know that someone is, I don't know, give me a weird job title.
Custodian.
Okay.
You said weird title.
No, it's true. You know,
because custodian usually could be a lot of things. So
right. It could be anything. It'll say works at, and it could list the company. But how do you know that person is a custodian? Well, the truth is Facebook has paid billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in order to get that information about you. And that is the reason that other enormous companies are willing to pay Facebook billions upon billions upon billions of information or of dollars in order to get that information about you and target you on their platform. Earlier this year were congressional hearings about Facebook and privacy issues. And the simple fact is that even if you're not a registered Facebook user, it may still be possible to target you when you visit a website like TechCrunch.com or Business Insider or Vogue.com. You may go to Vogue.com and see an ad that you were targeted with through Facebook, even though you've never even signed up for Facebook. Hypothetically, that's possible. So from the user side, you can say, hey, I feel violated. Hey, that's, you know, there are a lot of privacy concerns. But from a business side, from a marketing side, they are the biggest kid on the block. They've made damn well sure that they've remained the biggest kid on the block for 15 years and growing. You know, I want to hear people argue. I actually do want to hear people argue because this is going to contribute to the vidcast that's coming up. Story? Facebook story?
actually, you know, let me chime in on this about the privacy. Let's say, for an example, I'll give my personal thing. I had a issue with my sugar back in February when we were in Fashion Week, when we were covering Fashion Week. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, my sugar was a lot higher than it was supposed to be. And, you know, I was at the diabetic 2 stage. And when I got back from the doctors after passing out on a set and everything, I started to do a lot of research online, from the Mayo Clinic to understanding how sugars are in our foods, our water, or, you know, everything that we eat and drink and absorb, and how to lower my A1C and so forth. Even though I did not even go on Facebook, I was going to actual reputable sites to look up this information. All of a sudden on Facebook, I started to see ads for, hey, try this new pill to lower your A1C, and then pharmaceutical company ads. Now, understand this. Let's just be honest about this. Let's just throw the cat out the window, let it get caught by the, you know, trampoline downstairs, because it's going to bounce right back up. And for those that don't understand that analogy, I'll explain that much later. We live in a world where the words digital privacy are buzzwords to make people feel safe about themselves. Where the truth of the matter is, anything you look up, anything you do online, there are bots, programs, everything designed from the marketing industry. And it's not saying that marketers are bad people. Their job is to market someone, to see these keywords and key phrases and so forth, and then put their face and put their brand in front of you to see. Remember when I mentioned about 5,000 ads per day? So for an example, I am a huge wrestling fan. I have family that wrestles. I am a big movie fan because I love movies and television shows, and I love video games and Transformers. So a lot of the ads that I see or geared towards that. It's not just on Facebook. It's on Instagram. It's on every other platform. What you want to do as a business is make yourself more human. These ads are robotic. They're just there to flash, tell you something within 5 seconds, see if you'll catch their bait, and then, you know, get hook, line, and synced into their site where they could tell you more about their sales pitch. When you use Facebook, and Camille, you could agree with me on this, it's a social platform. So do the one thing that your competitors are not doing. Be social.
Yeah, if I want to digress for a quick moment and give my condolences to every person who's ever put a Facebook post up that says, you know, according to law, blah, 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 section 234, I do not allow anyone to take my intellectual property, photos, music, or anything from Facebook. Folks, it's such a scam. It's been going on for years, and in the terms and conditions, anything you put online is now free reign.
Exactly. I didn't mean to cut you off, Camille. Understand that Facebook is a private platform. You voluntarily sign up. You voluntarily give up your information, from your pictures, your date of birth, where you work, what location you live at, and who your friends and family are. You use multiple devices, such as your smartphone and tablet, or even your desktop. Some may even use their smart TVs to log in. You also give permission to Facebook, where other companies, I can't remember some of the streaming services that say link your Facebook account to log in. So not only are you giving Facebook permission to be integral into your life, but you're giving Facebook permission across the board to other services and streaming
other
platforms.
Apps and right. They all make it easier. Mm-hmm. Just sign up with Facebook.
Exactly.
You could fill out a long form and create a password, or just log in with Facebook.
And how Camille says, one of those Camille-isms, reduce customer burden.
Yep.
At the end of the day, even though Facebook is a social media platform, you are a customer to them.
Yes.
And the thing is, as a business, understand that you are still a customer to Facebook and other social media platforms, because you give up your personal information voluntarily. But rather than feeling, oh my God, this is the end of me and I can't do business on social media, no, you can. The opportunities are there. There have been so many people that started from nothing with minimum education in their fields, experience, made themselves a profile, and grew from there. And they are now making millions off of just speaking their mind or offering a product that's already been out for decades. But because they are able to approach the common user or B2B or B2C and be human about it.
Or even C-suite.
Or C-suite, thank you. Then just being honest and open, that attracts it more. You attract, was it attract more bees with honey than you do with vinegar?
Right, right.
So in other words, be honey.
And in fact, this really touches on my last podcast and blog about how Facebook has, social media as a whole, but especially Facebook because of the business possibilities, has enabled brick and mortar and local companies to compete with big brands. It's all about knowing what are the right channels for you, what are the right ad formats, what's the right content. Like a Facebook story says, you know, be in the psyche of your consumer. Don't make these robotic. If you catch yourself ever saying, oh, well, it's good enough, no. You're wrong. As soon as you say it's good enough, then go back and say, put yourself in that perspective. I mean, for example, like a Facebook story said, everything that you put online is captured. This is the Skynet of social media platforms. If you are a mother and a CEO and your child has a birthday in 2 weeks, I can actually target you based on all of those criteria and make it look like I did you a favor. I mean, that is the power of marketing behind the Facebook ads targeting and advertising hub. So it can be the face of your business. It's how enormous companies like global conglomerates, that's how they personalize themselves to everyday people. I mean, that's how do you get a multinational conglomerate to feel like it's a warm and fuzzy part of each and every person's everyday life? They've done it through social media.
And through social media, they were human.
Yeah.
Now, one last quick component, and this is something that we'll touch on the blog and possibly the vidcast later this week, is reputation management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Coca-Cola launched a campaign when Stranger Things Season 3 came out in 4th of July weekend, if I remember. And they had these special bottles of New Coke. You know, if you're from the 80s, you remember New Coke was a quick thing that they did and they stopped. But they started to offer the bottles again and the New Coke. Now, there were people on
personalized,
there.
Personalized. Right?
Personalized.
With the name.
They were personalized. Just like how if you go buy a Coke bottle, like a 16-ounce bottle or so forth, they have names on there. So they started to do this. And what I remember seeing was, and I was talking to Camille about this, was there were people that said, hey, I ordered my bottle 2 weeks ago. I haven't heard back from customer service.
Yes.
You know, I'm giving a 1-star review because this service sucks. You suck. You, sir, suck.
The ultimate example of such a brilliant campaign where they leveraged the fame of Stranger Things, put out a campaign to sell millions of these novelty Coke bottles mm-hmm. that were personalized with names. But when you looked at the reviews, they had the wrong names on them. People weren't getting them on time.
Beautiful execution of the, you know, their campaign, but horrible follow through.
Yes.
And, you know, one thing that Camille offers, you know, with Camille services is reputation management. So if you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, my God, this is a sales pitch. It's not. There's so many integral parts of this.
It means do it right. Like mm-hmm. you have to. One of my clients, I couldn't be prouder of them. They've worked so hard and so long to put together basically a communication framework. So no matter what happens on the page, there's protocol. If someone posts something that's inappropriate or has profanity, there's steps to take. Is it hidden? Is it blocked? You know, what replies to give to what comments? But the point is, the Facebook page is alive. It literally is a face, and I'm there to engage with these people 24/7. And if you do it right, Facebook can be an amazing face of your business. But that's, you know, like a Facebook story said, it's about doing it right. Because if you don't, your reputation management is going to take such a hit that, you know, you're looking at, with one bad review, your post, you're looking at easily a 23% immediate drop in sales. Mm-hmm. So if you get your campaign right, you get your content right, please make sure that you follow through.
So, you know, to close up this podcast, because we're reaching the 40-minute mark, the answer to the question is yes. I could have a successful business on Facebook. I could market my products, goods, and services to B2C, B2B, C-suite, and to the general user. You just have to keep in mind not to be a robot. Be personal. Go to where your customers are. Start a Facebook group. Invite others. Invite them to be admins, you know, if you trust their content. You know, engage with your customers. You know, if you sell shoes and somebody says, hey, do I sell a size 14 4E wide shoe? Engage with them. Make them feel that they're getting to know you on a personal level, because people are more comfortable spending in an e-commerce solution with companies that they trust and personally could be in contact with than to a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And reputation management, whether you go through Camille to get reputation management, or you hire a company to do it, or you do it yourself, it is also key to address any concerns or problems that come up. One customer's bad review will lead up to 23% of lost sales and up to 12 people clicking away from your brand and going to your competitors.
Can I mention one more quirky thing?
Sure, quirky.
Over 85% of people who see that bad review are actually going to wait for 24 hours to see if the company actually replies.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be on top of everything, because that comment may not end up being a bad thing if they see that you came back and addressed that comment, whether it's on a Facebook post or a product listing or whatever. But you have to engage, because the majority of people want to see, are you going to get back to that comment? How are you going to address it?
Exactly. So keep these things in mind. Now, Camille, we're doing a vidcast later this week.
That we are.
And we are going to have this blog published. So, you know, again, you get a chance to read the blog. You're already hearing the podcast. And we encourage you to tune into our vidcast that we're going to have up. You know, we've been talking about it. We finally now have bandwidth to do it. Again, guys, Camille is always up for a cup of coffee and her two cents. Yeah. Yeah, that's her. But don't be afraid. You got questions, and probably a lot of you do. Hit her up. She's easy to find on social media. Ask these questions. Her two cents are free. Maybe that question that you've been pondering, can I be successful on Facebook? And maybe you want to know more.
Or what am I doing wrong?
Or what am I not doing to get more people to pay attention to my brand or service? Hit Camille up. She's on all the platforms. She's easy to reach. And her two cents are free. And trust me, this woman can't shut up for the life of her. So it's probably the best benefit for you to get her to start talking about a question you have.
It's true. I never charged for someone to let me geek out for a while.
Yeah, I work with her here. Trust me, I know.
Sorry.
Okay, guys, we're going to end this podcast. Again, you can find Camille. Use the hashtag AskCamille. And, you know, any questions, just feel free to go to her site. Or just send her a message and she'll be able to answer.
Find me on Facebook.
Yeah, find her on Facebook.
And enjoy the fabulous, warm and soothing sounds of Warren West on the way out. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you guys for listening, and you guys take care.